No matter how hard they try, some folks just can't find love. While others don't really need romance, some people feel a lot of pressure to be in a relationship, and that's where all the problems begin.
Today we're joined by the hilarious prankster Ian Bernardo, who's managed now to get himself on three reality TV shows, So You Think You Can Dance, American Idol, and now Millionaire Matchmaker. Is Ian Bernardo serious when he says he wants to find somebody to love, or is he just pulling Patty's bikini-waxed leg?
Listen as Ian takes us behind the scenes on Patty Stanger's Millionaire Matchmaker and reveals to us why he thinks Patty, who's had a rough time in her own relationships, is even qualified to give advice.
Plus, Ian Bernardo's hilarious take on the Oscars.
What Calpurnia Adams, the transgender actress and consultant on Dallas Buyers Club, has to say about Jared Leto's award speech.
And why Ian got into a catfight with Carson Kressley on Millionaire Matchmaker.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Thank you. Upgrade your account today at feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our fabulous podcast 5 days a week.
Hello.
Hi, Ian Bernardo. Welcome to Feast of Fun. Ooh.
Well, now it's Ian Bernardo. I added the R because everyone was driving me fucking nuts. Every news article had an R in it. It drove me nuts after a while, so now it's Ian Bernardo.
So it's Bernardo, like the rescuers, darling. Bernardo and Bianca.
Ian Bernardo.
Okay, because I thought that's what Patty said, and I said, how did she not get his name right?
Yeah.
So your name used to be Ian Bernardo, like Benjamin, and you legally changed your last name.
He didn't
in order
it
to...
But it wasn't my last name. Okay. It's my middle name, Bernardo. Oh.
Okay, so we don't still know who you are.
You know what it is? On TV, I don't use my last name because I rather have, like, my legal last name, which is this long. I told you, I don't even want, like, you know, it's Ian Bernardo. That's, like, my stage name.
It's like Schittlitz or something like that, right? It's some kind of crazy Jewish name.
Yeah, no, it's Schindler's List, actually.
Schindler's Fist on this podcast.
My last name is very, very Jewish.
So, Ian, we've known you for years from your appearance on American Idol, which I thought was hilarious, where you threw your valuable fur coat in Judge Simon Cowell's face, and then later on, you sued them unsuccessfully for sexual harassment.
Isn't that shocking that I didn't win that lawsuit? I mean, I was shocked.
And then, you know, we've always loved you, and we see you as a prankster, and you kind of like, every time you make an appearance on these reality TV shows, you sort of poke fun at them and the premise that they all have.
And they don't even realize it, which is, like, weird.
So now you're on Millionaire Matchmaker, coming forward to the realization to the rest of the world that you stand to inherit $80 million from your rich Israeli parents. Is this
well,
even
that's
true?
The deal. Like, they do background. Here's the thing about Millionaire Matchmaker. They actually really do background checks. So they actually did a background check on my parents. And my parents were wondering why they had to, like, sign out all these things.
Yeah.
And because they do a whole credit background check, everything. So that show actually is. The thing that's legit about Millionaire Matchmaker that I have to admit is they actually do a background check. So they don't let, like, they won't let some homeless man off the street on it, you know?
Because there are some homeless people who have, like, millions of dollars and, you know.
Well, yeah, that's true. No, but what I mean is, like, they're not going to make one of the millionaires some, like, broke guy. They actually did, at least with me, they did a very extensive background check because I think that they looked at my past and they're like, okay, we need to cover our bases with this one. So they did, like, this whole huge, it took like a month,
because, like, they knew you were on American Idol. They knew you sang Gloria.
Yeah, they knew everything. So with me, they did this. It was like I had to keep signing documents. I had to keep letting them do more and more research in my background. So they, I don't know what, like, it took literally a month before they were like, we love you, perk, you did well, great, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm. So Patty wasn't, like, worried, like, you were going to prank her on this show and pull a Gloria on her?
She was scared to death of me. She was so scared of me. When I first walked in, she was shaking, and she was like, she has a little, people don't see this, but she has an earpiece in her ear, where she, like, has her the producers in her ear. And she was, like, shaking, scared of me, because every time she would, usually when she yells at the people, they get really scared of her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With me, she would yell at me, and I would just laugh at the fact that she'll never have children. You know,
you were eating it up. Yeah.
Oh, I was loving it. Like, she's like, to me, it was just hilarious that this woman has, she's so angry for no reason.
Well, she, you know, she was going to get married and then she didn't get married. So I think that, you know, she's probably angry that she's got no love in her life.
As they say, those who can't teach.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what's your overall impression of Patty? Because, like, our friend Peaches Christ, I was talking to her one day, and she's just like, I just can't stand her. She says the meanest things to people. And I'm just like, well, that's the nature of the reality TV show. It's like, you have to, like, you know, be on point. Tell people, yeah.
She has to have an angle. And her angle is she's a cunt. And that works, you know? it does. Her angle, she's a cunt, and it works. In her real life, I don't know. I do know that she can dish it, but she can't take it, because she kept storming out and slamming, you know, this didn't get on TV, but she kept storming out and slamming the door. Yeah, no, she was scared to death of me, because I'm the first person, and she's been on radio shows saying this, I'm the first person that's ever been on that really made her, like, I was too quick for her, I was too fast for her, she wasn't able to control the situation, so she would constantly get flustered, because she's usually saying, you're never going to find love, you know, and the person's like, with me, it was like, you know, she's like, we have nothing in common. And I'm like, yeah, actually we do. We've never been married and we can't get pregnant. So we have a lot in common. And she just was like, stormed out. So angry.
Now, how do you know she can't get pregnant?
At 52, I don't think she can.
She's not 52, is she really?
Yeah, she's 52 years old.
Oh, I gotta say, she looks better now than when she first started. She must have had
some
good
fantastic.
Work.
She looks fantastic. I give her credit.
Yeah.
You know, I said to her, she looks great. She said I look terrible. I said, you know, we can't all get Groupon in Tijuana like you.
Get what?
She looked,
Groupon?
You know, I'm pretty sure she's very cheap. I mean, you should see the set. I mean, she's cheap.
So saying that she gets her plastic surgery via Groupon?
Tijuana. Yeah, probably.
I haven't watched Millionaire. I'm a fan of the show. I haven't watched it in the past couple of seasons, but you were on it, so I'm like, we gotta watch it. And then I was just like, who's this whole new crew? She used to have like these punk rock couple. Did they like run off and start a punk rock band or something? What happened to them? Do you know?
Well, according to rumor, they left to pursue other options, aka fired. I mean, let's be real. Every time I hear that someone like parted ways. And then they're not on TV anymore. That's like they got rid of them, in my opinion.
So what is it that you feel with Patty? Was it the fact that you had a sassy mouth and you could go tete-a-tete with her or tit-to-tit and hold your own in any kind of like shady thing that she threw at you? You could respond with ferocity.
Right, exactly. I felt like I was sitting down with a cunty drag queen. And, you know, you just go back and forth with them. And here's the thing, though. She loves me. Like, she retweets me all the time, and, like, now she's obsessed with me. Like, we've become, as crazy as it sounds, we've become, like, friendly. And
even though you call her a cunt, every other word out of your mouth, we're talking about
it. She is. I told her that, no, but I think she owns it. I think she owns the fact that she's a bitter, awful bitch. I think she owns it. I mean, and I would own it if I were her. And if she doesn't own it, then maybe there are some delusions there.
So it's a feminist, self-empowering cunt with a Y.
Yeah, she's a self-empowered cunt, and I will be the first person to admit that I love her. I think she's really, really, really funny, and I think she's a cool person. I just think that she's bitter and she's angry about a lot of the things that happened in her life. And she's taking it out on all these people on her show. But I think she's funny, and I had a good time on it. Well, I have no ill feelings towards her.
What's
at all.
The difference? You're Jewish. What's the difference between a cunt and a yenta?
A yenta is someone who just gossips.
Okay.
That's just someone who gossips.
Okay.
A cunt is Faye Dunaway, who was my neighbor. That's a cunt.
Your neighbor's is Faye Dunaway?
I will be the first person. I will send you guys a photo of me, Faye Dunaway, at the grocery store, and you can post it on your thing. She's the definition of a crazy cunt.
Why?
Like, that's she, Faye Dunaway. she would be at the grocery store and she would yell at the produce like she's nuts. She doesn't live in New York.
She yells
anymore.
At she like the green peppers?
Yeah, no, it was a she, when I say neighbor, I don't mean my building. I live on 79th, she lived on 78th.
Yeah.
And there's a 24-hour grocery store on 78th, and I would always see her there. And she got kicked out of her building because it was rent stabilized. It was this whole big thing. It was on the news, actually. This was like 2 years ago. But she's an insomniac, and I would always see her, and I'm also kind of an insomniac, so I would see her at the grocery store. And she would just be, like, yelling at the workers there. And, you know, they're Mexican. They don't even understand a word she's saying. And she's like, I said I wanted green, and these are red. You know, she's just like...
These are not fresh. Pedro, bring me some fresh produce now, damn it.
I know. It was really
over
like
my dead body.
Why would she be dead?
I was expecting her to be like, Carlos, Cristo, damn it. You know, like, it was just... out of control. That's Faye Dunaway. I think that Joan Crawford role just went to her head.
Mm. She says really that she's haunted forever by the ghost of Joan Crawford for playing that role.
I believe that. I believe that that's what the schizophrenic voices have told her. Well, I believe that they have convinced her that she's been haunted.
The same year that she did, you know, Mommy Dearest, she also did a made-for-TV movie based on the life of Evita Peron. And it's like the same acting. It's the same over-the-top. It's the same screaming madness. So
and Superwoman. You saw that?
Oh, Supergirl. Supergirl, where she plays Selena, the evil witch.
Yeah, I love Supergirl. But, like, but that's what she's like in real life. And I have to send you guys a photo of me and her. You'll see it's a close-up of both of us together. Because she... like, even taking pictures. I know. Somehow this derailed into a Faye Dunaway.
I know.
So, listen. You live an amazing life. You hang out with Faye Dunaway. You watch her scream at
the turnips. No, I don't hang out with her. I bump into her at the grocery store.
Well, listen, if I knew that Faye Dunaway at 3 a.m. in the morning was at the local grocery store screaming at like, the rutabagas, I would stalk her out, you know, and bring a cell phone camera next time. God damn it.
She's no longer there because she moved 2 years ago. She got kicked out because it was rent stable.
So they successfully paired you off with a cute twink, an
Patrick.
Amish twink, Patrick.
Yes.
And no, it seems Philip.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, I thought it was Philip, but okay. So Philip and Phil, you were calling him. So like, you guys went on a successful date doing acrobatics and stuff, which I think is very brave of you because I know you have a bad back.
Yes, I do. I don't know where you got that from, but yeah.
How do you know he's got a bad back?
He told me on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
But
does it look like you were in pain doing some of those moves? Was it as painful?
Because I wasn't expecting it. Look, when I quote-unquote planned the date, I was told that they could rent out this thing called Cirque School. I was like, okay, whatever the fuck that is. I didn't look into it. So I show up. I had no idea they were going to have me hanging upside down from a goddamn trapeze. Lifting
looked like
him
a fun
off.
Date.
It was fun, but it's painful. I'm like, mine wasn't stretched out or anything. She lifted me on this trapeze. I had to hang upside down, lift him up. She was stretching me out. I burped. It was embarrassing as all hell. And it was just, and they left that in, which I was
that was
like,
a burp? I thought it was a fart.
No, I burped. Like, really, it was like a belch. Because what happened was she put her knee in my back and was like stretching me. And we were filming at like 10 a.m., and it was just, ugh.
Because, you know, as a trust fund recipient, living the trust fund lifestyle, you don't get up before 4 p.m.
Well, basically, that's A. And B, also, I, as a trust fund recipient, I'm waiting for, you know, the inevitable to happen. So
do you get it
I'm
all?
Waiting for that.
Do you get it all? Or will this be the
I
trust fund to
I'm
the day you die?
Child.
Huh?
You can't tell.
Well, yeah, but are they going to set it up so you can't get it all at once?
No.
Hopefully.
Oh, you know what? That, can I be honest with you? I really don't know.
Uh-huh.
I could say yes, I could say no, and both could be wrong. So that I do not know yet.
I think your parents sound like wise people, and they probably will do, which is seems very common with trust funds, is that they give you, like, you know, enough to live on, but not to become Paris Hilton and kill yourself with heroin and cocaine. You know?
Well, if that's the case, then I want my parents to be stupid. Because I want to be fucking, I want to live that kind of life. I want to just be so dumb in money that it's fun. So, I don't know. I don't know. I know I'm the executor of the, you know, the will, everything. I don't know the basics, and I don't ask too many questions because I don't want them to think that I'm too interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did this TV show where
they know now.
It.
They saw the TV show.
That's what I was just saying. It's like, it's always like, you know, those people that are like, my parents don't know I'm gay, and they're like on a TV show talking about it. Like, oh.
Well, do you joke about your parents? Like, when you kick the bucket, you're going to get all their money and you're going to go crazy with it?
Well, I mean, I said on TV that when I kill them off, I'm going to get it. I mean, I didn't say I'm going to, when they pass away, I said when I kill them off.
Did your parents laugh at that, or have they not seen it?
They claim that they haven't seen this. Well, they would find it funny because they know I'm joking.
Mm-hmm.
But they claim all of their friends have been calling them, being like, "You know, your son is on TV again." You know, it was my parents don't want to ever see with me when I'm on TV because they know it's always bad.
Because they they see Gloria? I think I've got your number.
They quickly turn the. They try so hard. You know, I was on Extra, and they were like, "My mom's like, you know, turn the TV off." Like with me, most parents get really excited with their kids. But with me, it's like, oh, no, we don't, the less we know, the better.
It's like some rich people, they want to keep their life private, you know, because they're just like.
My parents are very private. They don't, they're the, you know, they travel, they're in New York for a couple months, then they're in their place in Florida for a couple months, then they're in Europe for a couple, you know. They're that type of people where they're extremely private, and they don't like anyone to know their business. And unfortunately, they had me as a son.
Well, and everybody knows, well, at least everybody who listens to this podcast knows that rich people aren't on Facebook. They got their personal assistants to do it. But you are on Facebook.
Well, here's the thing. I've been getting nonstop messages from people now, like asking for me to invest in their, you know, like random messages from all over the country. Like,
wow.
Hi, you seem like a really good, you know, fun, down-to-earth person. I'm starting a company and want to, I'm like, it's so obvious.
What's the stupidest
request?
Like,
where were these people a week ago?
Well, you know, when you wave $80 million in front of people, you know, people sit up and perk up and listen.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I didn't think that so many people would literally, like, I mean...
Dude, you could get kidnapped. Black. People will kidnap you and hold you for ransom. And you go to Colombia? Do you have a
I live there.
Do you have a bodyguard when you go to Colombia?
Well, here's the deal about that.
Yeah?
They don't get the show there. So it's fine. Okay. But I lived all over South America. I lived in Ecuador. I lived all over South America. I have a lot of family in South America, so I go there. My family in South America all have bodyguards. And in fact, in Rio, this is in the 80s, my family, they'd have to take a different route to work every day because the kidnappings in Rio de Janeiro were so awful.
Oh, yeah.
And we are a Jewish. The Jewish family, they all live in Leblon. Have you been to Brazil?
I've not been to Brazil, but I've heard about the kidnappings in South America. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. The favelas, they come down and from the mountain and they kidnap and sometimes you're survive, sometimes you don't. Even if you pay the ransom, you might not survive.
And corporations who have business people down there, they actually take out extra insurance for that specific reason.
Yeah, no, it's really Brazil. At least I'm talking about the 80s and early 90s, at least because that's when my family was really there. It was extremely dangerous. I think it's getting better because of the world, you know, because of the Olympics. I think mm-hmm. they're trying to clean up their image.
Yeah.
So let's stay on topic on the purpose of today's show, which is to get you laid and in love and moving forward. Because Patty failed miserably.
Phil didn't work out?
Philip and I are friends. We talk every day on the phone. We talk on, you know, we talk all the time. It's just that there's no... We're friends.
You didn't put it in him.
No, I never stuck it in him, and he didn't stick it in me. And we're going to keep it that way.
Okay. So I have a chance with Phil. Phil, you ever come to Chicago?
You could totally fuck him. The problem is I didn't have enough GHB to give to him when I was there, so it was sort of like it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I had no chance.
Yeah, some guys just,
he was sober.
What's GHB for people who don't know what that is? It's a date rape drug.
Yeah,
right?
Dating myself? Is that even not around anymore?
No, it's just that some people are like international listeners, or they might not. They're innocent. And they
G is like a roofie. It used to be in the 90s, in the late 90s at least. I know it was around.
It's still around.
Okay, let's just cut this down here.
I'm out of the
Patty knows nothing about being in a successful relationship except how to make money giving. Fake advice to other people on how to be in a relationship. Carson Kressley
absolutely. She gives this advice, and I'm sure it comes from a good place, a.k.a. she wants ratings and money. It's coming from that place, and she's just a very angry woman, and she thinks that she's helping, but instead she's just insulting. But you know what?
No,
that's her
I agree with 90% of the things that she says. The one thing that I think is a little bit iffy is her rule about sex before a relationship being established. For gay men, sometimes we stick it in each other like a calling card, you know? So it's like giving the same exact advice to people not taking in consideration their context or where they're coming from is not always one size fits all advice never works for everybody. Mm-hmm. So
She's even admitted that. She says that she does everything as a stereotype. You know, she's very stereotypical, and she does broad generalizations.
Okay.
She doesn't realize that with the gay community, you can't have the same generalizations that you do for the straight world. And she tries to bring in that to the gay world, and it just doesn't work.
So, Ian, here's the question that Patty should have asked you in the very beginning. That I would have liked
what
to see.
What mental medications am I on? Well, I
do you want a lover in your life? Are you serious about that? Like, is this because this is so much fun to see you on any reality TV show? And I wish all reality TV programs had you somehow involved in them.
He'll be on RuPaul's Drag Race next year, right?
Well, the prize is $100,000. That's
you do it for the fun of it.
Okay, so...
No, I would do it for the fun. No, but I'm not a drag queen.
But do you want to be in a relationship, or are you just having fun?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Right now, I'm always up and down. I think I want a relationship, then I know that I'm not capable of having a relationship because I'm very crazy. And then I think no one's going to be attracted to me because I think I'm... You know, I go through weird feelings all the time. But I think everyone inside wants to be with someone, but a lot of us are scared to take the step. I personally don't know if I'm relationship material. I think myself I'm not relationship material.
Obviously, you get a lot of love from your friends and family, and so I think that you're capable of giving love to other people. The second question is, are you feeling lonely or are you too busy to be in a relationship with somebody?
You know, here's the thing. I've gotten so used to my hand, and other people, they seek, they're on Grindr, I think that's where Patty met her current boyfriend on Grindr. Looking at him, I got some feelings, but whatever. So, I think that a lot of people in the gay community now, that everyone's fighting for marriage. Look, if I wanted to get married and have kids, I'd be straight. Okay, like flat out. I never want to have kids, and I don't think I ever want to get married.
Who are you going to leave that $80 million to?
Huh?
Who are you going to leave that $80 million if you don't have kids?
Charity.
Right. The money will go to you.
Thank you.
Do you have heart disease or anything?
Yeah. Someone please make sure Ian Bernardo or Bernardo signs his will off to Feast of Fun and then kill him.
The whole thing about with insurance, bring that up, they actually ask about their teeth because infections start with the tooth. I know I'm going off topic, but okay.
So
health is very important.
So with the premise here that you have the time to develop a relationship and you are opening up your heart and inviting love into your life, Mark and I get this question asked by our listeners and our friends all the time because they think that somehow we're in a happy relationship, not realizing the hell
are they listening
that I
to your
through.
Podcast?
What?
Have they listened to your podcast?
They don't, so that's part of the reason.
Oh, okay.
But so you know, this is what Mark and I agree on, is if you want to form a relationship with another person, you got to do things that are not oriented as a consumer, but as a creator. And what I mean by that is like volunteer at a shelter, build a house, build a project, do things that create things as opposed to you buying a cocktail, you know, buying a nice vacation somewhere. And the reason
consuming things.
Consuming things. And why I say that.
Be a creator instead of a consumer.
Yes. And the reason I say that is because then it puts you in the mindset of building things and making the world a better place and giving to others and be loving to others. And it's a lot easier to
I'm loving
love
to my friends. Here's the thing. Yeah. I'm loving to my friends. I think relationships are different because it's a more intimate. I don't know if I'm really. The whole thing that I learned and doing the whole show was more that I need to really open my mind and stop putting myself down so much because I'm very self-deprecating. I make fun of myself. I'm the first person.
I would.
We've seen what you wear.
I would say I would completely disagree with that. Actually, I think that, that part of your self-deprecating humor is hysterical. Without a doubt. And part of the what joy it is to be around you, you know? So to me, like, the fact that they made you feel bad about being a funny Jewish guy is a crime. It's an anti-Semitic hate act.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, I was not feeling bad about it at all. I was just sitting there thinking, like, you're really fucking trying to psychoanalyze me on this show. Like, I just was not having it.
Well, everybody gets armchair psychoanalysis. We're doing that right now.
I know. My psychoanalysis of Patty, she's borderline personality disorder. But, you know, who am I to know this? Who am I to say that?
Aren't we all a little bit crazy in this big
world? Oh, yeah,
world?
She's a nut, but she knows it, and she owns it. She knows she's a nut, and I know I'm a nut, and I like Patty, and Patty likes me. I have nothing against her.
Ian, this is the most important question that Patty also didn't get to ask you, is what seriously gets you excited, besides a hot body, what gets you going in life and in another man?
What you mean, what am I attracted to?
Like, if I looked at your Facebook wall, what are the things that you hit like on? Like, what are some of the things like?
I understand what you're saying. I like campy movies. I like,
you like comedy.
Geez, that's a really tough question. I like anything that it stimulates my brain, and intellectually as well, but more like makes me laugh or makes me learn about other people. I go to different like groups and talk to people. I love getting to know people on a deeper level, and it helps me learn about myself, because I have so many fucking issues with my own self, and I think everybody does, but we hide it very well. So everybody, when you're walking down the street, is one big self-defense mechanism. Everybody.
Well,
has
that's New York
own
City. Do you like volunteer for like a suicide hotline? Maybe if I was considering killing myself, and talking to you might make me not do it. You know, I was like, here's somebody who's even worse off.
That's the thing. Because I'm born and raised here, I have a skewed vision of things. I forget when I leave that places aren't like this.
Yeah,
I forget that. So I always have to tone myself down whenever I travel or go anywhere, because I forget that the behavior in New York that I had is not acceptable in other places. Like, I have to tone myself down, because I'll go to the loony bin. Like, I have to remind myself.
He's like, no, he's just a Jew from New York. He's all right. You get him out of the straitjacket.
Exactly. It's like he's just this neurotic mess from New York. Like, that's okay. But it's like, no, it's not okay. It's just, I always have to bring it down from a 10, which is considered a 5 in New York, to a 5, you know, because here it's just one big, we live in like a monkey cage with these crazy, just everybody's just nuts here. So you forget that when you live here for, you know, your whole life, and then you leave and then you're like, oh my God.
See, I love listening to you talk. I love your comedy. And I, as a fan of yours, I wish that you were a stand-up comedian putting videos out there and having a career.
But that's the thing. I don't view myself as a comedian. That's not my thing. I don't do comedy. Everyone is always telling me, in fact, Caroline's wanted me to, I said, but I'm not a comedian. I don't do that. Like, I don't know. I'm scared, that's scary for me. I have a lot of friends who do that.
Okay, so this is what we want you to do. You're going to move to Chicago for a summer and take some stand-up comedy classes at Second City, where all the greatest got their start. And
see what happens. Challenge yourself.
And the reason I'm offering this as an example of doing something is because guess what? Then you start creating something. And when you create things, you find yourself surrounded by people who have similar interests like you, who want to build something together. When love starts to blossom.
My job, I am an art dealer, and I've been doing that.
But that's shopping. That's just, you know.
But I don't do that. See, that's the thing. Yeah. You've seen what I wear. Do you think I go shopping? I'm an art dealer.
You're shopping for art.
I thought you meant like Bloomingdale. Like, I thought you meant like go to Bergdorf Goodman's and shop for clothing. No, but I do shop for art, but it's more ideal. I sell.
Do you create? Like, do you create a show? Do you bring artists together?
I'm not, you mean create as in I do, I go to shows, I don't create shows. Curate, I deal with private clients.
Put together artists
galleries
and have an exhibition.
Right, exactly. What I do is I go to the galleries and I show the art, and the people, the way the art world, a lot of people don't realize this, the way the art world works is you need to get your art in a gallery. So I'm the person, I'm the middleman. I deal to private clients and the gallery itself. A lot of people just think, oh, put your stuff up on Etsy and you can get a lot. No, it's not like that.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, next on the list here is be grateful for what you have, you fucking selfish bitch.
I think that was a fortune cookie I got the other day. Yeah.
We're full of we actually write fortune cookies part-time here. That's how we pay the
bills. Yeah, I love fortune cookies. I hate Chinese food, but I love the fortune cookies. It's a weird situation, so I always tell my friends when they eat to just save me the fortune cookie because I don't like food.
I don't know you well enough to know if you're a selfish or grateful person.
I'm a very grateful person. I count my blessings every day. It's a very short list, so it's like three. But I do count them. I'm very, very grateful.
I'm really rich, and I'm super rich.
but that's the future, you know?
Well, you have right a good now, body. You have your health. Do you wear glasses?
No, I should. I have awful vision. Okay. But the truth of the matter is I don't wear my glasses because I have green eyes and I want people to see my eyes.
Why don't you get LASIK? Get some LASIK.
Why yeah, not? You know what? I heard horror stories about LASIK.
Don't let Kathy Griffin scare you.
How about contact lenses?
I don't want to wear contact lenses because my whole life when people see me in person, they're like, you have such nice eyes. I don't want people to start thinking that they're fake, you know?
Well, you can just take the contact out. That's what you said to Carson Kressel. You said, those are nice eyes. Did you buy them somewhere? Is it possible to get eye implants now? Did I miss something?
I don't give a shit what he says. Those were not his eyes.
Oh, really?
No. And he was very, and I was just offended that he's even on the same show as me. Like, I did not want to be there with him.
Were you surprised that he was there?
Well, he got very offended. What happened was, and they didn't air this. So Patty brings him out and goes, do you know who this is? And I go, Ellen DeGeneres. And he was really angry.
That's hysterical.
That's hysterical.
So he complained and said, don't air that. Like, they cut it out. But, like, I said it. She's like, no, it's Carson Kress. Like, she was pissed. But I thought it was
But did you actually know who it was?
Yeah, but I said Ellen DeGeneres because I didn't want to be on the same fucking show with him. I'm like, are you serious? And then he sits down and starts telling me he's claiming that I'm too much. Does he see himself? He's like a 50-year-old, like, poor Richard Simmons. I am not going to take advice from him. Mind you, he's single. Why the fuck is he telling me what to do?
He was trying to seduce some of your guys. The Japanese-speaking guy and one of the Patty's assistants. He was trying
because
to sleep with people while he was
he
doing
wants
his job.
To be on, well, it isn't about seducing. He wants to be on a show. Like, he wasn't there for me. It was bullshit. I knew, like, I'm not dumb. And that's what it was like. And he was pissed off about that because, obviously, I'm not dumb. I can pick up. He's used to going on these shows and, like, the people really believe that he's there for them. I knew that he's there to be on TV. I'm not dumb. Mm-hmm. So I was just, like, not having any of it.
Well, it's
that's
like the good gay
rooted.
And the bad gay, you know?
This right. Is nice he was gay. Good gay. I was bad gay.
And that's actually, and like, really boneheaded thinking is to categorize minorities as in good or bad. Like the house slave and the field slave. The good girl, the bad girl. You know.
But that's what people do. People, you know, we're always like, oh, I hate labels. Then you know what? Take your fucking shirt off because it has a label. That's what we do. We have when people view you on TV, nobody sees me as a person from New York. They see me as a gay person from New York. I mean, they're not. That's just human nature. We, especially people that aren't, they could automatically categorize because it's just something that we do. So they see me, and they're like, oh, he's being mean to Carson Kressley, who's there to help him. They're so dumb, they don't realize. Like, Carson Kressley's not there to help me.
He's a self-serving bitch.
Exactly! Motherfucker! And that's why I was not being friendly. And
he's there to point his finger at you and be like, bad gay boy.
Yes, naughty, naughty.
Yeah, and I was pointing my finger back at him and saying that he's fake, and I have no problem. You know, and that's why he's not following me on Twitter.
But he was kind of, he was insulted that you said his contacts look like he has fake, like they're colored contacts.
I would take that as a compliment, you know, be like, yours are so beautiful that it's hard to believe that they're actually real.
Well, that's the thing. They have old, because I don't have those lips anymore. So they had old pictures of me, so she was ready to, like, attack me about those, like, my former face, which was, like, the big lips and everything.
What happened
to those
lips?
So when she saw me and sat down, she was, like, telling me this didn't get on. She's like, you know, you're very handsome in person. I did not expect you to look like that. And I said, well, because you saw, like, old things of me. I don't look like that anymore. So I think he was ready to sit down and be like, you're all fake, and then but he couldn't do that.
So what happened? So, did you have, like, Restylane and it just kind of went away? Is that what happened to your lips? Because they used to...
No,
they
I'll
were
tell you
kind
what
of,
happened.
You had some trout mouth going on there for a while.
Oh, some? I look like I sucked off a goddamn entire continent. It was awful. I had, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was long-lasting because it was, like, 2 or 3 years. Finally, I went to a doctor when I was living in South America, and they took it out. But it was just like a quick operation, and my lips are like human again.
So they had to cut your lips open and take that stuff.
Yeah,
out?
They had to cut. They had Ooh. To cut both of them open.
Did they do it from the inside or something? Is that because you don't see any scars?
Yeah, it was inside, and they didn't know exactly what was done. So to be on the safe side, they opened it up to look and then scoop it all out. Ooh. And the thing is, that's another thing that when I was on, people were like, "He doesn't look the same anymore." Mm-hmm. Like I didn't look like that, and it's because I didn't have those lips anymore.
Do you miss them?
Yeah.
Do you miss the lips?
No, not at all. I am so thankful because I didn't get those stupid lips until I was like 24, 25, 24.
Mm-hmm.
No, 24. Yeah, 23, 24, sorry. And I lived with them for freaking 7 years. And it was just awful because I was on every stupid site, like awfulplasticsurgery.com, awful. Like, and it was just like, I did not want to be that poster for, you know, when you do something, you don't want to be like the Jocelyn Wilden scene. Like, you don't want to be that.
That must be hard on your self-esteem, though, when you see yourself up on Awful Plastic Surgery.
You know? Oh, no, it's awful. Like, when I saw myself on Awful Plastic Surgery, I was like, holy shit. And they have, like, this, like, scathing, and I was on Awful Plastic Surgery. I was on all these awful, like, bad plastic surgery site.
What else have you
and
had done?
I had my nose fixed because I believe that as a Jewish person, it was already a mistake to begin with, so I could call it
Oh,
fixed.
My God.
No, because you know what it is? I had a deviated septum, a.k.a. I just didn't like it. Okay. And that's it. That's
so,
all I've had.
So be, you know, grateful for what you have and trust.
He's like back. Yeah. He's like going back to try to be like very deep.
Well, I want to really like, you know, see if we can't find you some dick
some
at
nice
the very
gold
least.
Digger.
A nice gold digger for you.
You know,
to
I
marry.
Love Chicago. I've been to Chicago. I have a friend who was a porn star who used to live there, so he took me around everywhere.
What was his name?
I don't know. He'll be pissed if I say it.
Oh, come on.
Because he's no longer. His real name is Steven. His porn name is Giovanni, but he quit porn.
I know Giovanni. He was a stripper.
He lives in Boston now, though. He left.
Yes. I know. Actually know who Giovanni is.
Yeah, so he left. He got out of the industry.
He had brown hair, brown eyes.
Yeah.
Eastern European-ish.
I've been friends with him for 7 years.
Yeah. And he was a dancer at one of the nightclubs down in our neighborhood here. So.
Yeah, Machine, I think, right?
He did it at Atmosphere, which is a club that has none.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So I knew him for years, and he was living in Boston. He's originally from New York.
Mm-hmm,
he was born in the Bronx. And I was in Chicago with him, and he took me to all these places, but it was during the winter. So Chicago during the winter, it's like, ugh.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
and
here.
It's been so hard this year. This has been the worst winter we've had
in
40
exactly.
years.
It was hard for me to really see the city because I was constantly like rushing into store after store to like not be outside. It was so windy. And I went to that science museum, which was on like an island, and it was just freezing.
Mm-hmm. And did you see the pygmy that's been sliced into wedge pieces, and it's like horribly racist exhibition?
No. I was there in 2010.
Oh, it's been there forever. It's on a staircase, and you walk up and you see it's like an African pygmy, and he's like sliced up into like inch thick things, so you see like his whole body from
Ooh,
different
that is something
and it's
I
between glass.
See.
So you can like stand
okay,
between.
That's what I have to see. I didn't get to see things like that. They took me to like Saks Fifth Avenue on Michigan Avenue. I'm like, really?
You're like, I'm from New York.
Okay.
I know exactly.
So do you
but
see yourself like with people? Do you see yourself like looking for love? I mean, you know, like what is kind of? I'm curious to know, like, if without traveling and spending a lot of money, like, what's one thing that you enjoy doing that everybody else does as well?
I love to go to the movies.
Yeah.
I love to laugh. I like, you know, I'm kind of a cliche in the sense that I suck cock, but I also like a cup of coffee, you know? It's like, sometimes you suck the cock, and sometimes you get a cup of coffee. It's, you know, it depends.
I think, you know, you
Why
should
not
marry
do both.
You should marry my husband.
Why?
Because you guys like both the same things.
He should say that. Hopefully, we'll get married, and then I'll kill you, and then Faust will come and marry me again.
There you go. Right? But no. But I just to be more serious with your question, I don't know what I like, and I think that's the problem because I'm still figuring. It's as sad as it sounds because I'm about to turn 34. I still am every day learning who I am, and I've been learning who I am since I was a kid because for so many years, I constantly was pretending to be somebody else for so long that when I was 13, I was pretending to be someone else. Then I started to get really into the whole New York City club scene in 1995 and 1996, and I just was changing myself and constantly with that plastic surgery, changing myself, constantly changing myself. So I'm someone who is, I'm constantly learning who I am every day, and it's sad because you think you would know who you are at 34 almost.
Well, sometimes, sometimes it takes a while to get there. But, you know, I have to say, like, the first time I met, because I met you in New York, and then we invited you on the podcast.
At Javits Center.
Yes, and then we invited you on the podcast when Jim Ferraro's from American Idol was on the podcast. I got to tell you, that was the last time Jim Ferraro's did a podcast with us.
Well, tell him I apologize.
That's all right.
Tell him that I was joking. I don't know, you know, people take me seriously sometimes. Mm-hmm. They don't
he takes American Idol very seriously. You know, I think for him it was, you know,
a lot of those people do. It's very
in his life. But you know,
it's shocking to me. They take it so seriously. I like what I did. Mm-hmm. They were offended by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jim was just kind of like, I can't believe we're on the phone with this guy. Don't put me in the same category. And Jim, if he's listening, because he does listen to the program, you know, we apologize for that. But I
apologize.
Tell you,
Jim, I apologize. I'm not going to lie. I really don't know who you are, but I still apologize.
He was on season one. He was the first gay guy kicked off, I think, of American Idol. But the I got to say, though, you sound, you know, even seeing you on you know, Millionaire Matchmaker and just talking to you today, you seem like you're a lot happier today than you were 3 or 4 years ago, the last time we talked to you. What's changed?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm more comfortable with who I am, and I'm living a healthier life. I'm not saying that I wasn't living a healthier life then, but
Were you drinking and doing drugs or something? Or?
No, I stopped doing that in 2000. Okay. I was very heavily into that in the mid to late 90s. I was
so your early 20s.
Fuck you. No, my teens.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Trying to age me?
Well, I thought you said 2000, so I'm like, well, 14 years ago. So,
well, I was 20. Okay, yeah. Okay, so 2000, I was 20 years old. But, yeah, that's when, like, 1997, like, you know, those years, especially in New York when all the clubs were like Twilo and Tunnel and what. Like, I was very into going to all that.
Because you were there when the club scene kind of collapsed, I guess, right? When the whole, party monster, all that kind of stuff happened with the murder.
Yeah, right, and I was young. And because I knew I was gay at a young age, so my role models were quote-unquote older gay guys. I was hanging around older gay people. And what happens when you hang around older gay people when you're young, and I'm making a generalization, I'm talking about myself personally, is that you end up doing, you know, when you're 17 and someone's 20, you look at them as older. You know, it's a different kind of thing. You know, a 3-year difference now is nothing, but when you're 17 and you're hanging around people who are 21, it's like they're older, you know? So I was copying what they were doing. You know, I was taking acid. I didn't know who I was, and I was trying to be someone else.
I'd love to get high with you in a New York nightclub in 2000.
But I don't do any. I don't even drink alcohol. I don't smoke.
Yeah,
nothing.
I can't do any. I mean, I had a couple cocktails last weekend, and I'm just like, you know.
You get to an age, you just throw up.
Alcohol just like is just a waste. You know, part of it is, I think the reason people drink so much in bars that without the alcohol, it'd be fucking boring.
Well, it is. Yeah. I'm sober, so when I go, I'm like, I want to fucking kill myself because I'm surrounded. First of all, your anxieties start to come up on you, and then it's just, you just see these people. See, that's why there is alcohol at bars, to make you not realize where the fuck you are. It's awful.
Do you hook up with people on apps, or do you like, you know, do Grindr, Scruff, Boy Ahoy?
No, Rent Boy. I don't. I rent boy. Yeah. No, what I don't do any of the apps because I don't. I feel like I'm worried that the person is not going to be the real person.
Why don't you meet him at a coffee shop?
Because if I'm going to go on an app, I want to get laid. What the fuck am I going to go?
Well, you're
coming to my apartment.
There's an expression in Spanish, te cantas y te lloras. You're singing and you're crying at the same time.
Pero hablo contigo en español también.
Sí, pues entonces entiendes. Te cantas y te lloras. You sing and you cry.
I know. I entiendo. But the thing is,
yeah.
I don't know. Apps. The thing about my personality is mm-hmm. I'm someone who's very vocal. Like, I walk outside and I talk to people, which is probably scary and not a good thing. But apps, I need to get into it. Listen, that's going to be my homework assignment this week, is that I'm going to... I know, I have a very easy life. That's my homework assignment for the week. I'm going to download one of these apps and, like, try to meet people. But I don't want to use my picture. I want to use someone else's picture. Is that okay? Does that kind of fuck up the whole
thing? Why not use your own picture?
You're not that unattractive.
Fuck no, asshole. No, you know, I don't, I'm, it's like that.
Mr. Green Eyes can be your,
Yeah, listen, if focus on your best asset, and if your eyes are really good, just, you know, hold the camera really close to your eyes and take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like,
figure it out.
You know, listen, why waste your time in meeting somebody who is expecting Rock Hudson, you know, and they get Ian Bernard?
Well, if they're expecting Rock Hudson now, then they're fucked.
He's dead.
He's a little bit, yeah.
They're into some weird shit.
We got some interesting comments and questions from our listeners on Facebook.
Ruh-roh.
Everybody's like, I can't wait for this interview. You know, you're such a likable guy, and you're so much fun to hang out with. It's hard for me to imagine the fact that you're saying that you're lonely. I feel like you're pulling a fast one on people.
Okay, I'm not lonely with people. People gravitate towards me as friends. But like getting to a deeper level, people don't view me as... People are always surprised to see that I actually can go deeper to talk to people. So people don't really become friends with me on a deep level. They become friends with me sort of on a shallow facial level.
I consider you a deep personal friend. I mean...
that I've talked to three times in my life.
You know, but every time we've had a conversation, it's been very meaningful and very interesting. And in fact, I've taken your side over other people who were, they were like ready to throw you overboard.
Oh, yeah.
And
people
it's
want
like,
to lynch you.
Because, you know what? Yeah. Other people don't know my deal. You know, when people meet me and actually talk to me and get to know me, then they're like, oh, he's really fun, really good. But when people just think of something and see, because the media changes your perceptions. You're edited. They tell you what they want you to think of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly, whenever I do anything, it's unedited or it's sort of like hate him. You know, we're brainwashed. Hate him.
On Facebook, Mariana Marola writes, I can share my experience. Once I stopped desperately looking for love and instead just focused on enjoying life and improving myself, only then did I find love. I was 28 and we've been together for 12 years now. Oh, that's sweet.
Well, good for you, Mariana, you bitch. I don't care.
She's offering constructive advice, being like, sometimes when, you know, depression or loneliness can be a very selfish state of being.
No, I understand. I'm joking. Mariana, I'm kidding. I don't hate you.
Emmett Hogan says, thanks to hookup apps, gay bars aren't really the place for random hookups anymore, but I found that they're not the places for meeting new dates either. Not like they were as recently as a few years ago. Where have all the daters gone? Match.com and the like? I don't know.
I say, like, go participate in one of those, like, gay sports leagues. And if you don't like gay sports leagues...
Just be a cheerleader or
be
an athletic supporter.
Or work out. You know, I think actually gyms are really like becoming very gay friendly and sociable.
Oh, gyms have always been gay friendly.
But even more so today because they're like healthy atmospheres. The lights are on so you know what people look like. And it's
my
like,
gym is very gay, but it's Equinox and it depends. It's weird. It's like, depends.
Ooh,
I don't
that's
know
a fancy
Equinox
New York gym.
I completely always mispronounce it. I don't know if it's Equinox or Equinox, but depending on the gym you go to, it's a different kind of, because with Manhattan, at least, it's like the uptown, it's a different kind of people than the downtown. You know, it's a very different crowd, but all of them are gay. Like, all of them.
Velvet Patsy. I think you paid Velvet Patsy to say this, but it's so...
Who's Velvet Patsy?
Listener of the podcast.
So he says, it's so refreshing to see such an honest view from a fresh millionaire with a big dick and good looks. Enough about Patty. Does Ian feel his true personality was portrayed on the show?
Enough about Patty. That's hilarious. I was surprised watching it because there's a lot of things that they didn't show. The things that they didn't show, she threw me out. Like, she kicked me out of the club.
And
they
didn't edit.
They didn't show that. Yeah, I was very surprised.
Why?
Because she said she kept calling me Brad and an awful person, and I told her I was going to write her the worst Yelp review ever. So what happened was she was going to write me a bad Yelp review. I was like, yeah, I'll write you the worst fucking Yelp review. And when she said, you know what, you're out, and that's what she kicked me out, because I said I was going to give her a bad Yelp review.
Now, when you're on the show, and you're guests on the show, you don't actually have to pay the fee, do you, to be in the club?
Right, no, it's gratis, it's free.
Okay.
If you are on the show, at the end of the show, I think it even says that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what I read. But I think, what's the actual fee? And that fee's good for a year, I think, right, for the club?
$40,000.
Holy shit. Website.
No, you shouldn't be. I'm not. She's not paying me to give her press, but whatever.
Oh, my God.
It's like 40 grand, and then she does a mixture. But it's $100,000 for the year with Patty. Like, she does some weird thing. Where it's like,
and she does not
you
guarantee
have to pay
you.
Extra to meet her because apparently she's Angelina fucking Jolie all of a sudden.
So would you recommend or consider paying $100,000 to have Patty working with you one on one?
I'm gonna be honest. 95% of the stuff she says is true. She speaks the truth. Yeah. And I remember a lot of gay people were very offended when she said the whole monogamy with gay men. She was on Watch What Happens Live. Mm-hmm. But the thing that she said, people take her too seriously. People get offended by her too seriously. She says offensive stuff, but whatever, it's funny. You have to view her as just like an out-of-control mess drag queen.
And like 50% of gay men are in open relationships that are in relationships.
Exactly. So what she says is not like it's not true. It's just
and the other 50 cheat.
The things that she says are true, and that's what gets to you. When somebody says something that's true but not spoken about, that's what sort of builds that fire inside you and gets you angry.
Ian, last but not least, do one kind thing for one person and for yourself every day.
I do enough kind things for other people, and I don't do anything kind for myself because all I do is put myself down. I need to start learning how to be nicer to myself. I always put everyone before me. I'm the first person to put people ahead of me.
Do you work out on a regular basis? Do you go to the gym? Because you look like you are in good shape.
Yeah.
So that's doing something for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. I didn't
the best way to love yourself, Ian, is go out, get a nice bottle of like silicone lube, and just go to town.
Well, I mean, I need a partner for that, right? Or
not really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, you have
but
a trust
do you need
fund.
To go? I just started a new website.
You did.
What is it?
Bernardo.com. Yeah.
Bernardo.
Bernardo or Bernardo?
IanBernardo.com.
Oh, let me take a
this
look at
name
it.
Name change is throwing me for a loop.
Just remember, like Ian as in Ben as in Benjamin, right?
But the Ian Bernardo, because everyone was like Bernardo, Bernardo, Bernardo. Everyone. But the Bernardo, no one was getting it, so I was like, fuck it. If you can't beat them, join them. So I made it Ian Bernardo, and now it's like everywhere I go, it's like it's Ian Bernardo. And if you even Google Ian Bernardo, it's like 10 million things. If you Google Ian Bernardo, it's just basically like nasty TMZ articles. So it's better that it's just Ian Bernardo. Mm-hmm. And Bernardo is a common Spanish name. Mm-hmm. Not like
so you become one of those gay men that blog about celebrities and everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe she's here.
No, I actually blog about everything. I do talk about celebrities, but I also like to make fun of YouTube videos. I like to make fun of people on the street. Mm-hmm. I have a contest called the Mr. Rice and Beans Contest where delivery boys in my neighborhood compete to who's the hottest delivery boy.
Hot.
So you have to vote.
Where is it? I'm looking here. It's like you need that on your sidebar. It's a
lovely
site.
I just the website's been up for 4 days.
Like, it's a lovely site. Do you blog all yourself, or like George Takei, do you pay somebody to post things?
No, I do it all by myself. You know why? Because I'm the only one who has my voice. If I had someone else doing it, you could tell right away it's not me. The way I made my site is that I want people to know that I'm writing it because I want them to read it in my voice, which is probably not a good thing. Because my voice
is not shrill.
Just like, one thing I would say, don't use so many ellipses, and they have three dots, not four or five. But otherwise, you're good.
See, I'm not a grammar. See, I know, you're right. I'm still getting involved with the whole grammar. You know, I do have a college degree. I have 2 degrees.
And
somehow.
Why?
I don't know how. In what? Yeah, exactly. In sociology, which, you know why I majored in that? Because it was easy. It was like,
and what's the other
one? Why major in sociology? Huh?
What's the other degree in?
The other degree was Middle Eastern Studies in Hebrew.
Ah.
Because the reason why is I already spoke it. So I might as well get a degree in it. I already knew it. That's the great thing about getting a major in like a language you already speak. It's like, okay.
So you watched the Oscars last night. And you saw
yes,
all that
I did.
Stuff. I'm surprised that nobody like thanked slavery or AIDS for their award.
Yeah, and why was Brad Pitt the one that was like the winner of 12 Years of Slavery?
Well, he was a producer.
That the one white man on stage was the one who was like, you know what I mean? I don't know, something was off about that.
He was a producer.
And
for
I personally, and I know people are gonna get really bad feedback about this. I hate Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, well, she got a lot of anger because of her, her
misgendering.
Her joke towards Liza Minnelli, you know, it's one thing, you know, hello, Ellen, Will and Grace from the 90s called. They want their Cher impersonator as Cher joke back.
Yeah,
and
well,
second
please,
of
I
all,
don't like
you know, it, calling anybody like misgendering like that. As especially for coming from an LGBT person who's very conscious and very aware, as Ellen is kind of stupid.
No, but you know what?
You know.
Here's the thing about Ellen, and I want everyone to know this. Before people believe that I met Ellen, I can see through this, and I've met her, and I know, and I had a little bit of an issue with her. Here's the thing about Ellen: before she's a lesbian woman, she's a working woman. She's full of shit about all of this. Oh, GLBT. She's full of shit. She's a working woman. She is not. I don't.
Shit.
She is. Trust me.
You don't think she cares? Come on. Ellen has
a
heart.
She's a fraud. I'm telling you, I really don't.
Do you think
like
she's
Ellen.
A sociopath? Are you saying she's a sociopath? That she
no,
doesn't
I'm not
care
calling her a sociopath. I'm saying, although that there might be a little bit of tendency of that, what I am saying is that she will take, she is wants to be a working woman before she is. She, you know, this whole lesbian thing is sort of like, she likes, look, we have an out lesbian woman hosting the Oscars. Right, so that's a big thing. I mean, my God, think about how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she sort of is in like the Queen Latifah camp for me. I can't stand with Queen Latifah because she did that whole marriage thing. And she's like, don't be proud of who you are. Don't be ashamed. Why? And then meanwhile, she's in the closet.
Okay, so what did you think about her delivering? Because she was like really mean in her jokes, which is unusual for Ellen. And then she tried to win back the audience by delivering pizzas to them.
Yeah, no, that just shows you how fake she is. I think she's just phony. And I also that whole people retweeting that selfie thing made me want to puke.
Well, and that
why
was
are
a that was
the
publicity
this?
Stunt for that Samsung camera, wasn't it? And she was trying to do that. And they actually had pictures of her
and
taking selfies
like
backstage. And
thing.
She wasn't using that Samsung camera. She was her own personal camera is something completely
it's
different.
It's an iPhone.
I
it was
know.
An iPhone, yeah.
That represents her. Don't
and poor Liza Minnelli didn't get in that picture. She was rushing up to get in the picture, but she wasn't in it.
Can we also
as
talk
about as far as I'm concerned, Liza was the star of the night. I mean, maybe because I'm a gay man, it's possible. But it was that night was should have been about Liza.
She was not having it. It was supposed to be a tribute to The Wizard of Oz, which was a movie that, you know,
people love and adore.
Iconic for her mother. And
of
then
course.
When Ellen came out as Glinda the Good Witch, it reminded me of Lily Tomlin's cringeworthy moment as Snow White. At the Oscars, don't do Disney or beloved child characters if you're a lesbian comedian.
No. And we've all seen the Rob Lowe beginning with Snow White. It just doesn't work.
So that I thought that was very tired. You know, I didn't mind the selfie. I thought it was really fun to see like
cute.
All the celebrities kind of like not being guarded or being airbrushed.
But they were. But that's
yeah.
Thing.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
That they're not being guarded, but they're all they're just, it's just these overpaid people. I don't know. I have a lot of issues about it. And I obviously, there's probably a lot of jealousy and anger in me right now.
It's boiling. The happy E is gone.
I know. You know what? Cut this all out because Ellen, I don't want Ellen to get close about this.
Ellen doesn't listen to this podcast.
She doesn't listen to anything.
She takes baths and money and, you know, has...
What about Darlene?
Yeah, on her face.
What about Darlene Love singing her acceptance speech and winning every category as fiercest anything?
I think that anybody that... I mean, the Academy Awards, to me, it's very fake, and I'm supposed to pretend... Yeah. I know I should pretend and believe that it's a merit-based thing, but I know that there's politics to go behind all of this, and it's about who can excel next year, and always the best supporting actors, you'll never see them again. I feel like the Academy Awards tend to repeat in a way.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing of the night was John Travolta at... Adele Dazeem.
You can get your name John Travoltified. I did it, and you can see it on Facebook and through Slate Magazine. And so Mark Fillion comes up as Maya Fawizna.
You know what, though? I feel bad because I didn't know he had dyslexia. So that's the reason why he did that.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Come on. He couldn't memorize
Dina
Menzel.
Oh, good. So, okay, good.
That
was a test to see if you guys believe me.
You know what it was?
Okay,
you know what it was? I think that the glue from that toupee was just the fumes were getting high or something.
Yeah,
or he just kept thinking about, I need a massage and a cock.
At the L.A. Gay
I need a
house.
Reverse massage.
Okay, so Ian Bernardo Travoltified as Inns Baylery.
And what's Fausto?
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you guys didn't believe that thing because all these PR people are saying that he's dyslexic, so we shouldn't make fun of him.
Well, you memorize the name. You know?
If you are dyslexic and you have to do an award ceremony, then you would go the extra mile and actually memorize what you're
like. Just
say.
Put a smiley face where her name is.
Or shocked by the Scientologist out of dyslexia? Like, you just get shocked by the Scientologist.
Yeah,
don't they have like those torture chambers?
My name is Fausto Farnosis Fergus Florges.
That's a good one.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Fergus Florges.
Fergus
I have to
Flores.
Go to this site like where I can actually
So what do you think of Matthew McConaughey when he won for Best Actor and, you know, for a role
people,
that he played
okay.
where he played somebody who had AIDS and died of AIDS and he didn't mention AIDS
surprised.
At all in his acceptance speech?
I was surprised when I first saw him. I'm like, wow, he's really committed. Does he still have it? No, I'm kidding. No, I don't think he was that.
Method.
No,
it's method acting.
No, he's a method actor. He really got it. Cause he didn't look so... No, he... I'm very surprised he didn't even mention AIDS.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a listener who also a guest of the podcast, Damon L. Jacobs. He wrote a blog entry, I think it's pretty good, saying, whose Oscar speech is it anyway? He's just kind of like, yeah, Matthew McConaughey didn't win his speech, but you know what? He did the work so he can say what he wants. And you know what? I'm still going to work for AIDS, you know, and AIDS things, and I'm work towards the HIV prevention and all that kind of thing. And if you're actually committed to, you know, working in that field, then do the work and don't look for a celebrity to do it for you.
Meanwhile, Jared Leto's speech, which I have in front of me here, he dedicates it to all the dreamers around the world watching tonight in places like the Ukraine and Venezuela. I want to say we are here, and as you struggle to make your dreams happen, to live the impossible, we're thinking about you tonight. And this is incredibly special because there's just so many people that helped me get here. I want to thank you, Focus Features, Mick Sullivan, Jim Toth, Jason Weinberg, Emma Ludbrook, Calpurnia Adams, the entire Callie Adams, the entire Dallas Buyers Club team, Matthew, I love you, Jean-Marc, and for the 36 million people who have lost the battle to AIDS, and those of you, he actually memorized that number, and to those of you who have ever felt injustice because of who you are or who you love, tonight I stand here in front of the world with you and for you. Thank you so much. Maybe
I liked his speech better than Matthew McConaughey.
But maybe he stole the thunder of what Matthew McConaughey was going to say because he went first, and Matthew was like, "Fuck it, I'm the king of the world, bitches. I'm my own hero."
You know what? He probably did steal some of the thunder, but at the same time, he's winning Best Actor, so he can still repeat it. It's okay to repeat something. Look at Ellen's jokes; those have been repeated a billion times.
Well, there's
really
been all this controversy.
I know. I have something against Ellen. I need to work that out. I don't know.
There's been a lot of controversy over the casting of somebody who doesn't identify as transgender. He may be transgender or is not openly transgender. We don't know. But Jared Leto identifies as what some people would describe as cisgender.
He's cisgender, right?
Think of transgender as a continuum. And so using the word cisgender to them doesn't really describe. They're fighting binary thinking, male, female. And so transgender, cisgender is also a form of binary thinking, and they don't want to use those terms. So,
yeah, and it's interesting because the whole Janet Mock and all of Laverne, you know, I'm friends. You know T.S. Madison?
No.
I don't, no.
Okay, she's the one, bigdickbitch.com. Oh, you don't know? Okay.
Oh, wait, is this is she the big black girl with the huge cock?
Yeah.
She does, like, Vine videos, and then she's, like, dances, and then turns around, and then you see this big, giant, strong cock. She's like a working hooker girl who makes big money with that big cock of hers, I hear.
I know. And here's the thing. She said to me, she's like, I don't understand. Like, she doesn't even know what to call herself anymore because there's so many rules now. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't want to offend people, and she herself is transgender, but she doesn't know if she is allowed to call herself transgender because she doesn't want to offend people who are transgender who don't believe in gender.
Use the word trans with an asterisk so it's inclusive of everything.
And here's Calpurnia Adams. So Calpurnia Adams is a transgender.
Who helped Jared Leto.
Worked with Jared Leto on giving him perspective and feedback. She has been a coach and consultant in Hollywood for decades, mostly known for her work with Felicity Huffman in Transamerica and with Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club. She wrote on this, and basically I consider it the final word. She said, "Beware the same logic that leaves zero room for a non-trans actor to try a trans role will then be used to mandate that trans actors should not be able to play non-trans roles. That would piss me off." That's my best Calpurnia Adams impersonation.
This is the voice I want to use.
I think diversity is delicious. Let's write more books, movies, plays with all sorts of characters, lots of trans heroes, villains, everyday folks. Let's cast newbies who have potential. Let's get trans actors in all kinds of roles. Let the actors shine.
There's arguments right now. I know that they want to have transgender people as Victoria's Secret models, and I think Tim Gunn said no. Somebody said, like, no.
Oh, to Carmen Carrera?
Yeah, and that they shouldn't have her as a Victoria's Secret model. And Victoria's Secret was, like, our secret. Well,
was it Bruce Weber just did a whole photo shoot of, like, these transgender people? And, like, you know, they look fabulous as models.
Well, right, part of it is Carmen Carrera doesn't understand how modeling agencies work.
Yeah, you don't get a change.org petition to get a modeling job. You get a modeling job because you're pretty.
Well, she's very beautiful, and she's gotten modeling work, and she's qualified to do it. The problem is that she doesn't go through normal channels and get an agency to represent her and try to get her booked in modeling gigs. She does it as a booking gig, as an entertainer.
It's a business like any other business. There's avenues that you have to go. You can't go straight to the, you know, to like an online petition. Those don't work. You have to go through agencies. There's so many things you have to do. Not that I'm an expert of the modeling world, look at me, but I'm sure that if you don't get like an online petition, I don't think those things work.
Well, there's Andrej Pejic, who's the Serbian-Australian model, who's considered one of the world's 100 sexiest women in 2011, according to FHM magazine. Leah T., who's Brazilian. Claudia Charisse, Isis King. Florencia De La Vie. Sissa Pron Akarcion. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name. Camilla Azanka.
There's a lot of people out there.
There's a lot of competition if you want to be a transgender runway model doing magazine work and get paid a lot of money for it. The competition is fierce, and a lot of gorgeous women out there who were identified as male at birth, you know, not because of their choice, because of their genitals, are being now, you know, fighting for these jobs. And, you know, certainly like modeling agencies and designers love working with unique, interesting people that's going to get people talking about their product. Yeah. So definitely transgender models are a big thing in modeling. And so for Carmen Carrera to go on Katie Couric and say that the modeling world and the, you know, the fact that Victoria's Secret somehow discriminating against her is really disingenuous.
Well, and I remember when we had Lady Bunny on the show and she was talking about like this Make Me a Supermodel, a TV show where, you know, America's Next Top Model. She's just like, that's not where models come from. I live in New York. I see these models, 13, 14 year old Estonian girls with long necks and they're, you know. So you have to get into it right. What did you think of Kim Novak at the Oscars?
What was up with her face? I was dying because she was introducing Best Animated Short, and she herself looked like a Best Animated Short. I thought it was just so ironic that this woman who looked like a CGI creation...
She was plumped with cartoon filler.
Yeah, no, she represented Frozen. She is Frozen. Her face was frozen.
Well, what's just terrible, too, is you look back at those pictures of her and those films of her, and she was just so gorgeous, and it's just like, I mean, how in Hollywood, how do you grow old gracefully, you know?
Looking at her face, you get vertigo. It becomes like, whoa, all of a sudden I was spinning at it like spiraling and everything. A lot of women in Hollywood, they become extremely upset, especially with HGTV now. I mean, it exaggerates every feature. So women don't really age gracefully anymore. And she just, I didn't know who the person was. It was just a massive, it was like a massive skin graft walking. But when I heard who it was, I was like, holy shit.
You're like, what happened?
She's struggling with a lot of things, obviously. And Matthew McConaughey actually seemed really nice. Like, he was patting her on the back and being very generous and very kind to her. So, you know, don't hate on actors who fuck up their acceptance speeches for being selfish or stupid or whatever.
I never thought about the whole thing about him not having his thunderstorm. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate on all of them because I'm not them. I'm jealous. So I'm going to hate on all of them.
Are you still hating on Lupita Nyong'o? She was the door.
No, I'm not hating. I loved what she said.
She said, it's like, it's very difficult for me to accept that such a joyful moment in my life is based on such a painful moment in someone else's life. And she said that she thanks the spirit of the slave who her character was based on, who was able to give her this award. And I thought that was really gracious and kind and poetic, more than anybody else.
She gave the great speech, and also Jared Leto. And other than that, I wasn't really into any of the other speeches.
Yeah, you know, and really, the Oscars are best watched while you're doing something else.
There are parties where you're not even allowed to speak. Everyone is like.
Oh, those are awful.
Zoomed in on the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I know it's like the Super Bowl for certain people, but for me, I've never really cared. I just see it as one big circle jerk of people who are overpaid in Hollywood to just sit and clap at themselves. But I've never been a fan of it because I think that there's so much politics. Like, the winner of Best Picture sometimes isn't even the Best Picture. It's just, there's politics behind it. And yeah. I mean, when Crash won, everyone was furious because they think it should have been Brokeback Mountain, which, you know, it was just, I've never thought of the Oscars as the, you know, if it's Academy, if, you know, if it's one Best Picture, that means it's the Best Picture. No, I don't think that one.
Brian Sweeney said, he tweeted, a Goldie Hawn's face looked like she looked directly at the Ark.
I'm glad you could pull that up. I'm trying to mouth it. What did Brian say about who? Because I'm on an iPad. Which iPad, if you want to use a Facebook app, just absolutely sucks.
Well, yeah.
She just looked like she rolled out of bed and just didn't care anymore.
We weren't able to post a show yesterday. This is a crazy story because our heating in our home conked out. It exploded, and there was this burning, like, smell, and the machine was going, so we had to shut it down. And, of course, in Chicago, last night's temperature was, like, in the low tens.
Yeah, no, I was there in January, and I've been to Canada. I have never been colder than when I was in Chicago in January. I was freezing.
Honey, and it's like, so the repair bill for this thing is like going to be $1,500. I was like, fuck, man. It's like an AC unit would be cheaper. you know, or getting like heaters. I want to do like those bodybuilders do.
See, I don't understand homes. What? I live in an apartment building my whole life, so I don't know how it is to go out.
I should totally. Like, we should just move into like a high rise in New York City or something.
Yeah, I don't get that whole private home thing. I've lived in apartments my whole life.
Do you need roommates? Because Mark and I are pretty good roommates.
you don't mind if we run the podcast out of your apartment, do you?
Yeah.
Have you ever? You've lived in New York before, right, or no?
I vacationed often in New York.
I spent 2 weeks staying in New York with some friends once. I had a blast. And they're like, move here. But then I was just like, no, I'm going to Europe. So I left and went to Europe instead.
I have a hard time accepting that, like, when people go, oh my God, my apartment is huge. And you go in there and you're like, my apartment's bigger than yours. You know?
Yeah. It's like terrifying. If you have a one bedroom, it's considered huge in New York because people live in closets here. The apartments are super small. So, if you have a one bedroom and an extra bathroom, it's like, oh my God, you're living it up. I mean, the apartments here are very small.
Well, you know, how's your apartment? Is it like Madonna's? It has a jacuzzi in it.
Well, here's the thing. This is the deal with my apartment. My parents own different apartments.
Yeah.
In New York City, I own this apartment. We own another apartment in the Riverdale Fields neighborhood. We own another apartment on Gramercy Park. So each apartment, my parents own like real estate. So each apartment is one has a fireplace and it's three bedrooms. One is a studio. Another one is a one bedroom. So depending on the location, that's where it is. It's the one in Riverdale Fields has I think it's 2.5 bedrooms.
Have you stayed in all of them?
I've stayed in all of them. But I prefer the Upper East Side, the apartment I'm in now. Because it's closer to different things, and I'm too lazy to change right now.
Matthew McConaughey, speaking of the
Oscars.
And
I travel so much, so what's the point? I travel to different countries, so there's no point of me really staying in one place.
Matthew McConaughey lives in a giant mansion and has like 12 different bedrooms, and he brags about how he sleeps in a new bed in a new bedroom every night to the point that he forgets what each bed feels like after a while.
What a douche.
Yeah. Did he say that in his acceptance speech about people who can't afford AIDS medications? Or
that's the problem. It is like,
I like him even more now.
I mean, I think part of the problem is that Hollywood and film and entertainment is such a big, big monopoly business. And there's so
that's
many
what I said.
Wealthy
that's what I
douchebags.
That's why I can't stand the Academy Award.
Yeah. And listen, they even look at like stuff like what we do, and they want to crush that too. So it's kind of a strange world we live in right now.
They want to crush everything. That's why when you said, do you think Ellen's a sociopath? I think everyone in that industry that is successful at the top is a sociopath. There's no way you can't be, because they want to just destroy everything and take everything. The startup things, they don't. You know, when you hear somebody gets behind a quote-unquote startup, they're not getting behind it. They want to steal it.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I know I sound like some Williamsburg hipster.
I really appreciate you, and to wrap this up, Ian, is that you managed to get on these huge reality TV shows and throw a monkey wrench in them. The difference between, like, say, a pest and a prankster is a pest just tries to reinforce the way things are. A prankster reveals to us the superficiality mm-hmm. of the system by throwing a monkey wrench into what is going on. And I really want to thank you for the pranks that you've pulled on American Idol mm-hmm. and now on Millionaire Matchmaker.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm glad that you could. I'm glad some people see it, because a lot of people really think I'm real. Like, they think that I really thought I could sing, and then on So You Think Again, they thought I could dance.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I know it's not polite to talk about money and stuff like that, but I really want to know, how much money did you make off of selling Gloria on iTunes?
Okay, I will tell you, and this is an exclusive. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
$17.
Oh, my God.
No, honestly, you know what? The person who did it, Liza Friedlander, she would know. I let her keep everything. I think she made maybe, I don't, I to be, I'm going to be honest with you, I really have no fucking idea. She got all the money.
Okay.
And I said that. No, I told her she could have it. I did it just for fun. I did not do it for any.
So you gave it to the person that produced it for you.
Yeah, I gave it. I said, you keep it. We're just doing this for fun. I went to her studio. I sat down. I sang it. I was like, you keep everything.
It's hysterical.
Ian Bernardo, I consider you a friend. I wish and hope that you at least will, you know, set up a Grindr hookup profile. Don't feel like just the fact that people know who you are, that's going to keep you from having a happy sex life. I tell this to all the celebrities that come on the show. When we're done taping, half of them are like, I'm sexually frustrated because everybody knows who I am. And everybody has an opinion about me, and I feel
who
like it's getting
that?
My way.
I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to reveal.
Lots of people.
It's in confidentiality, and so I say to
them,
it's
not on the air. Okay.
Listen, you know, they already know who you are. They already have made up their opinion, either favorable or unfavorable about you. Don't let that stop you from pursuing relationships and sexual experiences that will make your life even richer and more rewarding than it already is. And
I understand. I think one of the things I love about traveling is that I'm able to be a new person wherever I travel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what, you know, some rich people do.
So you get lots
do.
Of dick in Colombia.
You're a sex tourist.
No, but that's the thing. I have fans, like families all. I have tons of cousins there. I have tons of family. Like, I lived in Israel for 10 years. Like, I have family all, because my family's all there, so it's not like I'm going to places and I don't have any connections, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I go places and I have connections because I have my cousins there and my family there, so I have connections to the places. It's just that I like having relationships when I'm traveling because I like being different, you know?
Well, next time you're in Chicago, come hang out with us. We'll go bistro. And we'll have a
even
nice
Chicago.
Panini. What?
Yeah, even Chicago, I would have a relationship. Like, I'm like, it's not New York, so I'll do something. Like another, you know, another state I would do.
Come here, stay, like, get yourself a fancy hotel room, and come take the podcast with us for a week.
Yes, I will totally do that.
But do it during the summer. We live down the street from the gay beach.
When is Gay Pride?
The end of June.
Oh, it's the same time.
It's the
New
same
York
as New York.
Right?
Come after that, though, because then it's like July is a fabulous time to go to the gay beach.
Come tape a week of shows with us and stay in Chicago. We'll show you around. We'll have a good time. We'll do lots of fab. We'll go to a spa.
We'll prank some people.
Oh, okay. But when you say spa, you don't mean waterworks. You mean a real spa, right?
We could go either. We could go to the Korean one.
I love Korean spas.
The Korean That'll spa has like 12 different rooms, and one of them is like shaped like a pyramid.
Yeah, like the grottos, they're called.
Yeah, it's really it's actually one of my favorite things to do, you know?
Oh, I love spas. That's one of the, when you ask me, like, hobbies and spas, definitely up there. Like, I love different spas, but, I mean, I love traveling. I travel everywhere, and I just, I'll definitely come to Chicago.
Come to Chicago during the summer, hang out with us, go to the gay beach, which is to die for. Absolutely fabulous. And we'll go to the Korean day spa and have fun, honey.
And who do you want to win RuPaul's Drag Race?
Who I actually like.
We just had Bianca Del Rio
on
the show.
I'm personal friends with
Ben. From New York. She performs in New York.
Let me clarify here. I'm personal friends with Ben de la Creme. Ben should win. That said, I'm rooting also for Bianca Del Rio. Who do I think is going to likely to get it is Courtney Act.
Mm-hmm.
But Courtney's already successful. That's the thing I don't understand. I know. I thought Courtney's already successful.
So Courtney's coming on the show, and we can ask her. Maybe she's a bitch in person, or she's really she's like Olivia Newton-John. Everybody fucking likes her. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
She's so nice.
Yeah,
and she'll suck our dicks just to prove
You said I was mean. Well, I'll suck your dick to show you I'm not mean.
Yeah, I actually kind of think she's fuckable. You.
I think the hottest guy out of is Ben de la Creme is the hottest of all of them.
Yeah, he's a good Ben's a good looking guy. Of all the Ben, you would fuck, marry or kill or both all three?
Oh, fuck, marry, kill from the history of the show or just this season?
This season, of course. Forget about the past.
Fuck Ben de la Creme, kill Adore Delano.
Oh, she was. Oh, why? Because she was on American Idol longer than you. No, did she ever make
it? She made it. He made it. Danny Noriega made it into like the top 9.
Wow! Congratulations! And how did that end up for him?
Not very good, actually.
He's a drag queen fighting for $100,000. Congratulations, Danny. Go back to Starbucks barista.
Yeah, no, but you listen. He's a working drag queen out in L.A. And that's the thing. It's funny. These girls, it's like you laugh and you say it's $100,000. You know, for a lot of these bitches, that's like, you know, 100,000 tricks.
Kidding.
You
know? Jesus Christ.
Kill Ian.
Some
of these bitches are working the corner. You don't know.
I know, and I thank God, because how do you think I get laid? I find them on the... No, I'm kidding. I love them all. I don't want to kill... I'll tell you who I want to kill. I want to kill the Asian one.
Oh, she's
a gun? She's from Chicago.
She's very fierce.
She's beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe. You know, but here's the thing. I feel bad saying I want to kill anyone, because the editing, you don't know until you know them
know.
In person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really good friends with Fifi, and he's the nicest
yes.
guy in person.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
He was edited horribly.
Well, he did say those things.
He's a little, you know.
But, you know, that's the thing is, like, which, you know, for a lot of people that don't understand, listen, I've worked in restaurants my whole life. We'd say all sorts of crazy shit to each other, but it was all in good fun, and it's teasing.
I know.
And it's like, I say stuff to Fausto that's super shady, but we usually do it in, like, drag queen voices when it's really shady, because it softens the blow a little bit, you know?
So, and who would you marry? Who are you just, like, makes your heart beat?
Ben, I think Ben is the hottest of all of them, I think.
Okay.
I think Gia is talented, but I don't know who I would kill, because I don't know I don't know any.
We'll check in with you mid season and see which one you want.
Oh no, then I'll mid season second fucking episode. I'll tell you who I want to kill. So you don't have to wait. And I'm obviously with $100,000. I'm totally joking. That's amazing, and that's especially with drag queens. It's not even $100,000. It's the fact that then they're going to get booked and they become rich.
Their
career. First Sharon makes bank.
Well, you know, I called, try to call Sharon on the Ouija board, and her career answered.
Oh, there you go.
We like to tease Sharon. Actually, Sharon's career is going just fine.
Yes. The news of Sharon Needle's career's death are greatly exaggerated.
Something about racism. Something happened where, like, they said she was racist.
She just said a bunch of anti-Semitic things. Like, who hasn't?
I say it every day about myself. I mean, God.
You paint a Hitler mustache on your face every morning, don't you?
And then masturbate. I heard that, like, that's like a sexual hack. Like, if you give someone, like, there's like a certain kind of act where instead of a facial, it's the mustache face. I don't know.
Well, a Hitler mustache in sex is a little square patch of hair above your genitals. To give the illusion that you
have some
hair.
Oh, I was wondering, because I heard about that.
Yes.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
So, like, Robin Bird, who had the TV show in New York City, she had a Hitler
mustache.
Whose
real name's Robin Cohen, because I know her. That's her real name. Mm.
Do tell.
No, Robin, her name was Robin Cohen. She was adopted. She lives on the Upper East Side. She drives around. She does. She has the sex show at nighttime.
I love her.
Hey, before we end, I want to give a shout out to Rebecca, who made a donation to the show on top of her subscription. Thank you so much, Rebecca. We really appreciate it.
We love
you, Rebecca. I love you more, Rebecca. See, I would fuck, marry, and kill you. I love
it. Ian Bernardo, it's always so much fun to talk to you. God,
you're
so
really glad
awesome.
You changed your name to Bernardo, because now I don't have to think about it.
See, exactly. Bernardo is just much easier. And edit some things out that might be...
No. Fine. It's all good. It's all good.
Listen, you were fantastic.
Patty won't hear it.
Patty's not going to hear any of this. She's
you know
she's
what?
Just selfish.
Totally, let me tell you something about her. This is something people don't know. She Googles her name all the time and looks up articles.
How do you spell her name so I can put her in the thing? Yeah.
She'll hear this. Patty Stanger. Patti Stanger. Stanger.
Oh, I'm putting this behind a paywall, honey.
So, yes.
And Patty's going to have to pay to listen.
Yeah, use some of that matchmaker money.
Oh, she won't. No, she won't listen.
So she's cheap.
She's cheap.
Not that she's totally I'm cheap. Not saying something anti-Semitic, so, you know, just that she...
No, 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 don't worry.
It is possible to be cheap.
I'm Jewish. I'm not offended by anything. Nothing offends. Nothing.
I love you, Ian. I, you know, if I was single, I'd go on a date with you, and I'd fuck you.
Oh, thank you. That warms the soul.
I'd give you a pity fuck. I know. My fuck would be sincere without any pity in it.
But lots of regret
the
next day.
I think that's
the
only way I get laid is I get pity fuck. It's how we get, you know.
Some guys are turned on by Jewish guys, so you got to play up that Jewishness.
I know.
Like, for some, it's a real fetish.
You know, all of a sudden, people are liking Jewish guys more and more, and I don't remember.
Are you hairy? Like,
no, I'm hairless. You saw the way I looked on this show. I was wearing a...
I don't know, but maybe
you
shave or something.
Are you shaving, or is that just, you know?
Well, it's because you're thinking of Ashkenazi Jews. I'm Sephardic Jewish.
The ones with the big dicks.
Thank you very much. Yes, exactly. We are, because we're Spanish Jews, we tend to be less, like, the Mizrahi, which is the Middle Eastern, they're very hairy. Mm-hmm. But the Spanish ones were less hairy. So I'm not that hairy at all.
So you're Latino, too.
According to the census, I am. But I don't, because my dad put down Hispanic. So what happened with the census is I put down Caucasian, but it comes back because my dad put down Hispanic that I was supposed to put down Hispanic.
There's race and ethnicity. In Latin America, there's Chinese people, there's blondes.
Peru.
What?
I lived in Peru a long time, and there was so many Asians because of the chifa, you know, the combination. Mm-hmm.
Well, the United States wouldn't let the Japanese in, and so a lot of them emigrated to South America. So I think the largest population of Japanese out of the United States, out of Japan, was Brazil.
Oh, wow.
And Chile and Peru. Yeah.
Ian, we love you. Thank you so much. Where do people find you if they want to, like, follow up with you?
Okay, follow up with me, ianbernardo.com. You can follow me on Twitter at ianbernardoNY, as in New York. You can follow me on Instagram at ianbernardo. And you can follow me, what else is there? Facebook. ianbernardoNY, or just ianbernardo. You can look me up, and you see my fucked up face. You'll know who it's me. So there you go.
how
you know it's me.
Ian, can you email me some high-res photos, or I can just yank them off of your Facebook wall if you don't have the time.
Yeah, just take them from Facebook.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking to us. I love you so much.
Oh,
I hope you find the love you're looking for.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk later.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Ian.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys. Bye.
Bye. Ian Bernardo Varon. He's a Latino brother and Jewish. You know, I asked my father, let's see, Ian Bernardo lives in New York City. You can find him all over the internet. He is hysterical and he responds to everybody. He is one of my favorite people in the world.
All his photos on Instagram are selfies.
He's
They're
hysterical.
All selfies. Ian, take a picture that's not a selfie of
one
yourself.
One time I asked my father, like, why does everybody think that we're Jewish, you know? I asked my father that, and he said, well, if you're a Latino and your family comes from Spain or Latin America, chances are you might be Jewish already because so many Jewish people in the Inquisition were forced to hide their origins.
The crypto-Jews.
The crypto-Jews, yeah. Mm-hmm. So most Latin Americans, through heritage, are Jewish as well.
So many are.
I mean, now you can hear it. I mean, I was like, I'm practically, dissolving into my Jewish roots. Why not? Remember, people, that Feast of Fun is only made possible because of financial support of people like you. And if you are comfortable in your finances, consider making a sizable contribution to Feast of Fun at feastoffun.com/donate.
And the best way to support the show is to become a member of Feast of Fun. You can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your ongoing subscriptions really do make this show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fabulous folks like Ian if it weren't for the money you guys send in.
Honey, the computer's falling apart. The heating system is falling apart. We're podcasting out of a FEMA trailer. It's depressing.
And we also have t-shirts for sale at feastoffun.com/store.
Get
your not shaving gives me more time for a misbehaving t-shirt today.
Won't anybody buy just one t-shirt?
Get a t-shirt.
Please. I'm starving to death.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.